Want you to open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43. We'll be there for a few moments. Again, we'll just spend a short time in the Word this morning. And maybe you have some New Year traditions that you want to get to with family. You want to go get to your pork and sauerkraut and black eyed peas. How many people do black eyed peas? Just four people? Are you serious? Come on. Black eyed peas is as American as apple pie. Isaiah chapter 43, and start at verse number 14. And let's open our hearts and open our minds to what God wants to say to us this morning in the Word. Isaiah chapter 43. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives all the Babylonians in the ships which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again. Extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up, do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I have provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. My family and I marked a milestone just this past week. We had to retire one of our vehicles. Most of you probably know me and recognize me as driving the little yellow thingy, and that car needs a lot of work. So we had to make a decision to perhaps go in and purchase another vehicle. So last week, family and I went to the car dealer. Much as we didn't like to do that, we were approaching a period where we were going to be car note free. We're about to pay off our van and would like to have known what it feels like not to have a car payment. But we're not going to be able to experience that. So we went to the car dealership, and the hesitation slowly grew into anxiousness that turned into frustration, that turned into nervousness, especially when they began to talk about the terms of the note. But then that nervousness turned into excitement, and that turned into happiness. You know, finally, we have another vehicle. Now, although it's a used vehicle, but compared to the old vehicle, it's a new vehicle. It's got that new vehicle smell. It's got that new vehicle feel. It's got that new vehicle sound. It's new. And church, I like new. This isn't a revelation that you expected to hear on this New Year's Day. We like new things, don't we? In 2011, we had a lot to celebrate with regards to new. There were new births into Jesus Christ. There were some of you who gave your lives to Jesus Christ and were baptized into Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you were baptized into Jesus Christ, would you just stand up for a second? Let me see you. No. Yeah. Were you baptized in 2011? Oh, praise God for you. Hey, are there others that were baptized in Jesus? Yeah, Francie. Come stand up, Francie. We want to praise God because of this new birth. This is nothing to be shameful about or bashful about, right? We celebrated that. We celebrated new births in the spiritual realm in this body. We also celebrated new births. There were physical births. There were babies born in 2011. We had much to celebrate. While we mourn the loss of some of our family members who passed away from this life, we also celebrated that those who died from this life, from this side of heaven, have now gone on to get reward, and they are now living in a new body. They have new lives. We have much to celebrate in this body because of newness. And even in the realm of conflict and issues, in 2011, we had the emergence of new conflicts and new issues. Yet we took bold steps to address these new conflicts in new ways and new techniques with new attitudes. If we're being honest, church, if I'm being honest, we had a lot of new stuff in 2011 to deal with. Like with anything else, new challenges have the potential to frighten us or cause us to be filled with anxiety. If I'm being honest, I started the beginning of 2011 with great hope and great optimism. I remember last year, about this time, around the new year, I preached a sermon on Jubilee. I wanted to declare that this be a year of Jubilee where we cancel all our debts, and I began a year with great optimism and great hope. But by the end of the first quarter of last year, I had lost a lot of hope. It wasn't until my lovely wife, whom I love dearly, displayed her love for me and sent me away to deal. That's still hilarious to you all, isn't it, huh? She loved me so much, she sent me away. No, but that gesture of love, and it was a gesture of love when she sent me away, where I spent a week dealing with my own issues and my own hang-ups. And it was there in that week in March where I had a breakthrough with God. I heard the voice of God whisper to me, "I love you, Dion." I would never forget that afternoon in March where I was lost in the woods, and I heard him say, "I love you." That was a place of brokenness for me. It was a place of defeat, a place in the woods all by myself where God said, "I love you." And it was a place where I found healing. Yet our church was still embroiled in conflict. But a glimmer of hope that could only come from God was planted in my heart during that week and during the weeks that followed. Months later, we still have conflict. Let's not fool ourselves. We still have ways to go. But what is evident is that we are trying as a body to deal with conflict in new and healthier ways. These new and healthier ways are leading to new and healthier relationships. These new and healthier relationships are leading to new and better communication. The new and better communication is leading to new and clearer understandings. The new and clearer understanding is leading to new partnerships. These new partnerships are leading to new cooperation. The new cooperation are leading to new and renewed commitment to the mission and ministry of Jesus Christ. And if the mission and ministry of Jesus Christ is being pursued, then the goal of establishing God's kingdom as it is in heaven on earth is being pursued. And church, it's newness that I can get used to. That's a newness that doesn't depreciate like a new car. That's a newness that is worth celebrating. That's a newness that at the beginning of a new year, I expect to take place over and over throughout the rest of this year. And it's in this newness that compels me. It compels me to put the past in proper perspective. It's this newness that forms my desire to not be driven by what took place in the past or what has taken place in the past, but to be driven by what is taking place and what will take place. It's this newness that says it happened. You can't change that, but you do not need to be enslaved by what happened. Put yourself in a position to be blessed and freed by what is happening and what will happen. And where do I get this idea about newness from? Where do I get this idea about putting the past in proper perspective? Where do I get this idea that we shouldn't be enslaved by the past? Well, I get it from God. It was God who said through the prophet Isaiah, and we just read it, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. You see, God said, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. While we may be embroiled in conflict, while we may still have some issues, we may be even in what some people might say the desert. My God says, I'm about to make streams in the desert. My God says, you're not going to die of thirst. Yes, in the very midst of our circumstance, God is going to do a new thing. Jehovah was talking to his people who were in the midst of destruction. They didn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. They didn't see the bright side. They didn't believe that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. All they knew was death, destruction, famine, and poverty. And in the very midst of that painful experience, God declared, I am doing a new thing. Church, I want you to say this with me or repeat this after me. God is doing a new thing. I want you to say it like you believe it, that God is doing a new thing. Yes, in the very midst of our own circumstance, we have to believe that God is doing a new thing. And I want to know this morning, if we as a church are ready for something new. Are you ready? If so, hold on. Because I believe that God has something new for us. And that which God is doing new is what he has been doing already. Like what he declared through the prophet Jeremiah, when he said, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. This new covenant is a covenant rooted in the work and ministry of Jesus Christ. It is a new covenant that emerges out of God's great love for us. A love so great that Jesus died while we were still sinners so that we might have life. He ripped death from us and has given us life. And like Jeremiah said, the steadfast love of God never ceases, and his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. I want to know if you're ready for something new. Are you ready for what God declared through the prophet Ezekiel? When he said, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Are you ready for heart surgery, church? Are you ready to receive a new heart from God Almighty? A heart that is faithful like His. A heart that loves like His. A heart that forgives like His. A heart that judges like His. A heart that gives like His. A heart that is passionate like His. Are you ready to get a brand new spirit that feels like His, that moves like His, that blesses like His? Are you ready for something new? The greatest and most important role that I have as a minister of the gospel is to make known the reality of God and His desire to make things new. He has a great desire to make you new. He has a great desire to make this church new. He wants us to leave behind the old and embrace the new. So the writings to the early churches were flooded with a language about newness. As I read these passages, when we get to the word new, the underlined word, I want you to read with me. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Ephesians chapter 4. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Colossians chapter 3. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Oh, in the book of Hebrews. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a and living way open for us through the curtain that is His body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Oh, brother Peter, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Church, are you ready for something new? Are you ready in 2012 for God to do something new in your life, in the life of this church? Are you ready to put things in the past proper perspective? Are you ready to give proper perspective to things in the past? I'm told that the month of January comes from the Roman god Janus. And the picture of this god is a god that has two faces. One face that looks back and one face that looks forward. Yeah, it's proper for us to look back and see all the things that God has done, see all the things that has taken place, to put in proper perspective all the things that have taken place in our relationships with one another. But we put it in proper perspective because we look back at those things not to be enslaved by those things, but to look forward to see what God is going to do for us. Therefore, when it comes to my relationship with my wife, we've had a pretty good relationship in the past. But guess what? I'm expecting some things that are going to be new in our relationship in this year. Yes, there's been some good and some bad things that's happened in relationships with me and some people here in this church. Let me put that in proper perspective, because I'm not going to be enslaved by that. I'm going to look forward to see what God is going to do new in our relationships in 2012. God has done some great things in this church, and some bad things have taken place in this church in the past. Let's put it in proper perspective, as not to be enslaved by what took place in the past, but to look forward to see what God is going to do new in 2012. Yes, I had some bad habits in the past, but I'm looking to establish some new habits this year. I know how you felt when you moved into a new home. I remember when we moved into our new home. All the walls were clean. No crayon marks. No holes in the walls. No nail pops. And you go in and you take that big whiff that's got that new house smell. Doesn't have that now. It's got that lived-in smell. It's got that we've been here for a while smell. Every house has that, right? I suppose some things that we could do to restore that house to the way that it used to be, but it would take so much work to do that, painting and repairing drywall and doing just fixing pipe and doing all that stuff. I suppose that you could do that to that house. But I have to tell you, I'm not really all that concerned about restoring that house to its brand new house feel. I am concerned about restoring that house to a brand new home feel, to have that feeling of it being home, to allow God to do something new in that home. That means that our family needs God to do something new in our family so that we can make it more homely, that we can make it a home. That means that we're going to establish new habits. Maybe we'll take a day where we'll turn off the TV. We said no TV today. Today we're going to spend time in prayer and in the Word, because we want God to do something new. Yeah, there's some things that we can do to the physical house to make it new, but God could do something in our spirits to make our homes new. Church, I want to know, are you ready for God to do something new? How many people made New Year's resolutions? Don't be bashful. I know you made them. Come on. How many people said they're going to lose some weight this year? How many people said they was going to lose some weight last year? And the year before? And the year before? What if we stop making resolutions to lose weight? And we just kind of just said, you know, let's just do some new, let's just make some new, let's start eating healthier. After today, after we tear that pork and black-eyed peas and sauerkraut, after we tear that up today, let's start eating healthier, right? Jeez, let's have some fun for the last. How many people have regrets because last year you committed to being a word more, but you just didn't measure up to what you wanted to do? Let's put it in proper perspective, right? Let's not be enslaved by our failures. Let's look forward with new hope. Let's crack open. Isn't this a cool year where the first starts on Sunday? And you can say, man, I started the year off in the Word. And tomorrow, church, get in the Word. Just for a minute, just 2 minutes. And then on Tuesday, get in the Word. Then on Wednesday, get in the Word. You can start today, right now. Everybody, if you don't have a Bible, open your Bible up. Open your Bible up. Everybody got to open a Bible because I want everyone to say they started this year in the Word. Go to Isaiah chapter 43 again, and we're going to read this together. Read this together. You can read it out loud. We probably have all different versions, but if you don't want to read it out loud, just read along to yourself. Isaiah 43:18 says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." You can say, I started 2012 in the Word. It's time for us to create some new habits. It's time for us to open up our hearts, open up our minds for God to do some new things. And as we've been singing today, we're going to follow God step by step. Even when it seems like we're stranded in the desert, We're going to be still. Our souls are going to be still in the presence of God. And we're going to live with this expectation that he's going to do something new. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to see God do some new things. I'm not willing to be held up by the past. I'm ready to put the past in proper perspective. Y'all want to do that with me? And when we feel the temptation to want to run back into slavery of the past, we need to allow ourselves to be checked by that. I'm going to check you. Because if you try to drag me back to the past, to be enslaved by the past, I'm going to say, I'm sorry, I'm going towards something new. We've got to check each other with it. We've got to do it in love. We've got to do it kind. We've got to do it gently. Let's not be enslaved by former things. Let's expect something new. Let's pray. God, thank you for bringing us to another year. God, as we are here in this place of worship, celebrating life, celebrating existence, celebrating your love and grace, God, we know that when the clock struck 12 here, there were some who didn't see this year. And God, we want to pray for those who are now celebrating this new year without their loved ones for the first time. God, we pray that you would overcome them with a sense of a peace, a sense of calm, a sense of encouragement, God, that you would just wrap them in your arms. And although that their loved ones aren't here, that you are there with them. God, we also know that when that clock struck 12, we began the beginning of celebrating new births, babies being born in this new year. And God, I know that right now we have expectant mothers in here that will be given birth, some for the first time in this new year. God, we thank you for that. We praise you for that. And God, may that be a reminder that you are a God who is in the business of doing something new. God, I pray that we would not be enslaved by our past. God, right now, I know that there are relationships that have been broken in the past, that have been fractured in the past. God, I pray that we're not enslaved by what took place in the past, that we learn to put that in proper perspective. And God, that we live with great expectation that you're going to do something new in that broken relationship this year. God, that we live with that expectation that you are going to heal it, that you're going to reconcile it, that you're going to mend it, that you're going to fix it. God, because you are in the fixing business. God, you make us new. And you have the power to make our relationships new. God, where there have been broken marriages, God, we are praying that you would make those marriages new. God, we pray that this year that those who have not given their lives to Jesus Christ will give their lives to you so that they may experience newness in life. God, we pray that those who have strayed away, who walked away, who've turned their back on you to go back to the old selves, that you would bring them back to newness in life. God, we pray that we will impact this community in new ways. God, we're ready for something new. God, we pray that you would overwhelm us. This idea of newness. God, we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to start this year off in a new way, maybe you need us to surround you and pray for you, to help you on your journey, we want to offer that to you. As we sing this song, Selected, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ this morning, you want to be buried with him in baptism. You want to be raised up in newness of life, ready to walk in newness of life, ready for God to show you new things, ready for God to do new things in your life. We want to offer you that opportunity as we stand and sing this song.